welcome to Delight in Life.
I'm Janie, and that's Sophie.
Thanks for being here.
So I made pizza this week.
Oh, how'd that go?
From scratch. All the way from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. So, but because I'm off wheat, I had to make mine with a cauliflower crust.
Oh, Sophie.
It turned out really bad.
How do you even do that?
Well, so the recipe that I followed, you steam the cauliflower and then you, like, put it in the food processor and you mix it with, you're supposed to, like, get a lot of the water out. And I think that's the part where I messed up is I didn't get enough. I didn't squeeze enough. It was so hot. It was burning my hands.
Yeah.
Like, I put it in the cloth and I was squeezing it, but it was scalding my hands. Like, I don't know how I have skin on my hands today. But, because I guess because I didn't get enough water out of it, I was baking it and it said, bake it for 15 to 20 minutes. And at minute 10, you get it out and you flip it so that it bakes on both sides and gets like kind of crispy. It's supposed to be like a thin crust pizza. And, so as I was making dough for the regular pizzas for my family, which turned out so great, even though I didn't get to eat them, so sad. I got to look at them, and I'll show you a picture. But the cauliflower crust, it, like, burnt all around the edges. And I looked at it, and I was like, oh my word, how is it already burnt? And I stuck the spatula under it, and I go to flip it, and it just completely rips in half.
Oh my word, and I was like, that's so sad.
Wow.
Oh,
this
that
is going to really look great. And so I flipped one half and flipped the other half and tried to, like, squish it together.
Oh, my word. That's so sad.
It tasted amazing.
Did it? Cauliflower did?
It tasted amazing. And I made the pizza sauce from scratch also. It was so good.
I don't know why I've ever bought pizza. It's easy to make. It's so yummy. Yeah, it's
those were the beautiful ones.
Oh, it's
but
fun.
But the one I made was not beautiful.
It's been our jam lately. Oh my gosh.
That's with the toppings on it. Look at it. It's just so.
What's going on over here? It's gray.
It's burnt. That's what. That's what's going on. It's burnt all around the edges. But you know.
This was delicious in here?
It was actually. The burnt parts were not. Like, I didn't eat the really burnt parts. But the crunchy parts were actually so yummy.
Look at that.
So it tasted great. Those are all for Michelle. Sorry. Those are all for my boss.
Well, I wanted to be sad for you for a minute, but that, it looks like it's not that bad in the middle.
It actually tasted really good.
Cauliflower did.
It was actually so yummy.
I'm so shocked.
Here's the deal. It was not just cauliflower. It was cauliflower with an egg, with a bunch of different cheeses. You don't even see or taste the egg.
Okay.
It's like, it's just in there to be like sticky so that it helps stick it all together. And then you do a bunch of seasonings.
Okay.
And it was pretty great.
Okay.
But we should make pizzas sometime together.
I've been doing it a lot lately. Well, I say a lot. Only
That's
twice.
Why I made pizza, because you inspired me.
Aw. Well, I made it in my cast iron, which was... That's what I did last time, and it was delicious. Isaah said it was his favorite pizza he's ever had.
A win is a win.
I mean, typically it's like, it's pretty good. Good try. This time I was like, oh my gosh. And I feel good about eating it because I know it's in it. It's like minimal ingredients. I made the sauce too.
Yeah, and it was, I made too much sauce.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I have a whole jar of it.
I didn't mind eating it plain, though.
Oh, I have a whole jar of it in the fridge now.
Freeze it and then thaw it and then use it. It's so good.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm running low on cheese, though. I need to get more cheese to make pizza. We should.
Anyway.
You remember the first time we made pizza? It was literally like a loaf of bread.
Oh, my word! You were there!
I was. We did it together.
Well, yeah. Okay, so it was kind of bready, but way better than, oh, you would be so impressed. I was actually pizza doughing it.
Are you?
On my
were
hands.
You?
Like a pizzeria.
Huh. I couldn't even
do that. I felt like a pizzeria.
Have you
I was
do
doing
spinny
the
thing.
No, I did it with my fists because I don't have the technique at all.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But it was working. It was like sticking. It,
yay!
Like, milled wheat is so hard to get to stick. But I let it sit for so long. And in the water without the yeast.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's amazing.
I thought that was so cool.
Look how far we've come.
I know.
That's awesome. Monday. Oh, I met with my mentor. Which every time I get back from meeting with her, because I feel like the more mature you are as a Christian, I feel like the deeper her, I don't know, trials can be?
Yes.
Day-to-day trials.
Let's turn that off. Oh. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Just unplug it. It's so easy.
Is your ringer still going to go bzzz through the...
No, it's going to come to my watch first. Which, I started wearing my watch again.
Watch again.
Because working, I just sit down all the time. And I want to see, like, how inactive am I actually being.
Well, yeah, that doesn't seem very encouraging.
Well, okay, because sometimes I need tough love. Sometimes I need, like, I wish it would tell me, you're just as lazy as
you thought.
You're worse than you thought. I just need
you
to hear that.
Moved
I feel like
an
that's
hour.
How... I thrive off of that.
Yeah. I was thinking about the criticism other day, that we deal with each other in a way that is not how other people like to be dealt with.
No.
We're really, like, kind of rough with each other. Because we're like, are you struggling? Well, take this. You're actually worse than you thought you were struggling. So we are each other's Apple Watches. We let each other know.
I mean, and it's hard because when I go and talk to other people,
they
expect them to.
Yeah, I expect other people to respond like
yes.
you do, where we break down laughing about how silly we are.
Yeah, sinful we might be.
But it actually hurts their feelings.
And I know there are some times, like even just this week, we have to come back and be like, I was too rough.
Yeah.
What's that grit sandpaper? Doesn't it get grittier? I was 110 sandpaper, and I needed it to be 70. You can cut that out.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Okay, so, like, sandpaper, its grit gets rougher. I think the higher it goes, maybe.
The number?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying, like, as you use it, the grit gets rougher. And I was
no,
it actually rubs away.
It actually
gets softer.
Down. Okay, we can take that out. But it is hard to go through that contrast of not everybody's kind of like that.
Right.
So I do have to watch
Which compassion is something we both are aware that is something we can work on.
Yeah. And work on, it's interesting, because I think the only way biblically to do a work on, quote unquote, I'm scared of that language, I guess, but is looking at the compassion of Christ for us.
Right.
Because if I... Like, 2 years ago, I would have been like, okay, today I'm going to be compassionate.
Oh, I see. Like, finding the strength in your own self.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Well,
so
looking
like,
at that biblically, it's not through mustering up so much compassion.
Because
we don't have it in ourselves.
No, we don't.
I think what I mean by working on is just being mindful of.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you bring up, like, as soon as you see you need to put off being not compassionate,
mm-hmm.
you will... Okay, well, what do I need to put on? Well, the compassion of Christ.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But
being
this week
of it,
was, we were focusing on how the world is really into, self-love
mm-hmm.
and self-expression.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted... I mean, we talked about this because of the sermon that we heard on Sunday.
Yeah, and it was super convicting because I think people just get so comfortable in their titles of, well, what he said was fear
so
verbal
good.
Processor. That's not, you shouldn't be striving to be better at that. You need to be putting off verbally processing and
mm-hmm.
putting on the weight of your words, being slow to speak.
The weight of your words, that really hit home.
It did, because I just talk for the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Yeah, he said, if you are someone who just talks on and on, you're losing stream of consciousness
mm-hmm.
because you're not putting weight to your words.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just talking on and on just to talk because that's what's in your head and you feel like everybody needs to hear what you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so funny. He said talking, being a talkative person is not God's will for your life. And I was like, wait, what? Because we literally are the most talkative people.
Yes, like it's foolish. It's foolishness to the one who can't
control
control
because it's self-control. So we're putting off self-expression and putting on Christ expression.
Yes, pretty much. In
self-control.
You don't, I feel like I need to be expressing myself. That's the, and that's a lie. It's not true. Yeah. And because I am so afraid of being misunderstood. So what I do is I repeat myself. I'll word it in a different way. I do this with Isaiah all the time. And he got my point 5 minutes ago. But what it is I'm like, okay, if I make sure that they understand me right here in this moment, maybe they'll be agreeing with me if I really articulate this well.
Right.
And so I'll just keep going and going and going.
And or, deeper and deeper. And you're like, oh, yes. Maybe from a different angle. Maybe from this angle.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's one side of the sinful coin. The other side of the sinful coin is verbally processing, which is very interesting because when I feel like you're learning about each other, that's one of the biggest questions that you have, I guess, in marriage is, are you a verbal processor? And it's just, quote unquote, super important to know that. And so I just kind of got comfortable in the title of being a verbal processor. And so what that meant for me is I just didn't need to think about how my words are going to be affecting him when I'm just now hearing something and, oh, I just need to think about it, but talk it out. Mm. And what happens is I just have the most steady and compassionate and wonderful husband ever that he's not fazed by my words as some other people could be, but my words aren't having weight to them, so I am sinning as I'm talking. And I'm like, okay, I know that was sinful, but I just need to talk it out. And no, I don't. I don't just need to talk it out. Yes, I need to be praying to the Lord. It's not just that you just don't address the situation in your mind and heart. Mm-hmm. It's the vessel that you're sending it to, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, that was something he talked about a lot, was that he mentioned that everyone, especially the people that are close to us, but everyone, you should view them as an empty vessel that your words throughout the day are filling. Hmm. And what are you filling them with? Are you filling them with encouragement and blessing and inspiration? Mm-hmm. Or are you filling them with dread and grief? And so he was saying, if you're viewing everyone as an empty vessel that your words fill up every day, then your vessel is becoming empty by filling, and then you fill your vessel with your daily devotion, with God's word. Mm-hmm. So God's word fills us, and our words fill others. And I think that was really interesting when he was, it was convicting to me because I'm definitely, he talked a little bit about having a very critical spirit, and I'm definitely lean that way, especially towards my family, because they're the people closest to you. And so, but because of that, I'm not filling them with blessings. I'm filling them with critique. And it's from a heart of, it's pride. When we just talk just to hear ourselves talk and we're filling their vessels with empty words, it's just pride in and
selfishness.
Too. Yes. It's thinking that, well, my words are so important and my thoughts are so important that I'm going to let you know every single one of them. When we know that the heart is wicked and sick. And so when we give it such control over, like, we let, what am I trying to say? The world is express yourself, you know? And we need to realize that that's such a lie. It's the biggest lie that Christians could fall into. It is not about expressing yourself. It's about expressing who Christ is.
Yeah.
So,
and knowing that most of the time when I feel like I know when my passions are rising, and I know when I choose to ignore them, and that is typically when I say to myself, you need to express what you're trying to communicate. And in doing that, I'm going to get my phone because I saw somebody posted exactly. So I definitely did it this, I mean, even just this past week of, darn it, I deleted Instagram. Do you have Instagram? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll go online. What was I saying? Sorry. When I was just feeling the biggest burden to have them understand me, and I'm ignoring meekness, I'm ignoring my opportunity for meekness, and I'm putting on expressing my desire. And in doing that, hold on, let me find it. She says it perfectly, and I saw it this week. Oh, I clicked on the wrong person. question. Sorry. You can cut a lot of this out if you want to. Okay, so she says, it's loading. Okay, this is exactly what it is. When you get that hot feeling in your chest, accompanied by the urge to defend or justify yourself, that may be your sign to do the very opposite and hold your tongue. That is the paradox of wisdom. You can choose to reframe being misunderstood as an opportunity to sit with discomfort and grow through it. To be misunderstood is human and unavoidable. Stressing out every time it happens only prolongs the discomfort. When we can let the sensations come and go patiently, we find it's not so bad after all. That's wow. Annalise on Instagram. I don't know her last name, but I'm underscore Annalise. But that's exactly what I'm trying to say, is the passions of needing to defend myself. And I know when I'm having that hot feeling in my chest rise up, and I say, come out, because we need this right now. Mm-hmm. He needs to understand what mm-hmm. I'm saying. Mm-hmm. He needs to know he's wrong. Mm-hmm. And that is just... I always have to go back and repent and ask for forgiveness. It never ends well. Yeah. And that is exactly what I'm trying to say. It's like we're speaking out of our hearts mm-hmm. and we're speaking out of our pools of wickedness in our bodies. Like that is the well mm-hmm. that wickedness sits in. Mm-hmm. And so we're choosing to speak from our heart instead of...
Well, we've been told by mm-hmm. the world that you should verbalize what you're feeling and that you should get that out. You should vent. You should...
Or like that's like, healthy communication.
Yeah. But that's not what scripture teaches at all. Scripture does not teach, well, when you're feeling frustrated, you should tell somebody that how frustrated you are. Mm-hmm. Not at all. I mean, he says to put off frustration, put off anger, put off all of those things, not onto other people.
Mm. Yeah.
Put them off because those are dead. Mm-hmm. That is the dead part of who you were. And now you're alive with Christ with new... with a new heart, and mm-hmm. that new heart, because it's still growing, it's harder. We cave to our
flesh. The voice is so much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord willing, it gets louder.
Yeah, and we can douse it in the Word mm-hmm. every day, but when you do feel that feeling, and that I guess it is that striving to be understood, and I guess that is from pride.
Yeah, it is.
Viewing your opinion, your views, viewing your...
like, discounting stance, the other person's...
Yeah.
Like, I'm willing to sin by hurting these person's feelings
mm-hmm.
so that my point can get across.
So that it can be understood.
Yeah.
When you say... When you're talking about being understood is... That is... I think that is such a common... thing for people, but for people to really want to be understood and fall into sin when they're wanting to be understood. Mm-hmm. But wow, putting words to when you're wanting to be understood, that's pride. I guess I just had never.
It is, and a lot of times I know my heart in trying to be understood is when I want to be understood most is when I'm trying to change that person's mind. I would never say that in the moment, but it's when I want them to be
pushing your agenda.
Yeah. And so I think that, man, if they must not understand me, because if they did, they'd totally be agreeing with me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, that's pretty.
It's a high view of your
high view of what I want to be done
mm-hmm.
is what it is. I think my way is so much better.
Yeah.
And so that's my heart. A lot of the times I find myself. I mean, even just this week. I saw some examples. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't know it was that out of hand. And I always thought, I'd never be the one to think my way is better. Lo and behold, it just comes out in different ways.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's not as blatant and as like, what do you mean you don't agree with me? Mm-hmm. Mine's obviously better. Like, I would never say that.
But when it's pressed, it comes out.
It does. When I feel the need to defend myself. And I think that is a pattern of wisdom that I always say no thank you to in the moment. But whenever I feel the need to defend myself, I just need to shut up. It would save me so much trouble if I did that.
Right. Well, I mean, the Bible is very clear. So many passages, so much is said about words and mm-hmm. our tongues and how often we just let them fly.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I mean, the Lord has given us so much wisdom about how dangerous the tongue is mm-hmm. because it's like who can tame the tongue? No one can tame mm-hmm. the tongue.
If he could, he'd be perfect. Mm-hmm. But it just is so, I think it's just in our culture. Mm-hmm. It's so, it's praised so highly if you can, if you just run your mouth.
And I feel like everybody desires a peace of soul, whether you're in Christ or not. Everybody desires a calm spirit, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, that is something that I realized this week reading this book, The Quest for a Meek and Quiet Spirit by Matthew Henry. And he says this of, like, Christian or not, you will desire to not be troubled by every single thing that is thrown at you. Mm-hmm. And what the world thinks that the recipe for that is by expressing everything that you think needs to be expressed. That's the key to an untroubled spirit, is by sending them off to somebody else, which I know from not being a Christian, not even that long ago, that never works.
It never works when you're throwing, just throwing these
at other people, because it's actually going to build it up in you, if that makes sense. And you always just end up back at bitterness and anger. But everybody desires that steadiness that you only have in Christ. And one thing I read, if there be a heaven anywhere upon earth, it is in the meek and quiet soul that acts and breathes above that lower region which is infested with storms and tempest, the harmony of whose facilities is like the music of the spheres they talk of, a perpetual melody. How calm are the thoughts, and how serene are the affections, how rational are the prospects, and how even and composed are all the resolves of the meek and quiet soul. How free from pains and tortures of an angry man who is diseased and dispossessed even of himself, and while he toils and vexes to make other things his own, makes his own soul not so. Anyways, that sounds like a lot, but it's the surest way to find rest in Christ is by putting on his meekness and quietness and not letting myself be burdened with these things. Like, oh my word, I'm not being understood right now. Oh my word, I'm not getting my way. Oh, I'm so burdened with this. I am putting off a meek spirit that I could be putting on right now.
Right.
And like I was saying, everybody desires that. And so going back to how the world views it, is they're going to try it with every wrong way. And as Christians, we've let it come into our marriages and our home because it's just so easy. I remember when I was looking at social media a lot and seeing complaining mothers, I started to be scared of motherhood. I was like, oh my gosh, that looks real gray, like a color, gray. And I want mine to be blue and yellow and pink. So anyways, we let these things creep in, and I think that's one of them. I mean, even in marriage, I've seen it of like, oh, this needs to be communicated because if not, it'll happen again. Okay, if it happens again, he sins against me again. That's what a blessing that I get to learn how to forgive as Christ has forgiven me.
And this is not to say, that's not to say that you shouldn't communicate some things, obviously. Communication is, primarily communication is a good thing, but sin taints every part of our lives. And when we lack meekness, and I think what Vic was saying in his sermon was we lack self-control. And self-control is, oh, who was I listening to that said this? He said it, self-control. But then I listened to somebody, I think it was Nancy Wilson from her little Femina,
I think you sent that to me.
Podcast. But she said that self-controlledness is, someone who is self-controlled is being led, is in the spirit. Because self-control is a fruit of the spirit. And so is meekness and gentleness and all of those good things. But first and foremost, I almost see as fruits of the spirit, self-control, and then there's, it's the umbrella, and under that umbrella is like meekness and gentleness. And because how can you be meek and gentle if you're not controlling of yourself? So having the spiritual discipline of self-control is, Nancy was saying, I wish I would have written it down, she said, self-control, fruit of spirit, so then we are spirit controlled, basically is what she was saying. But that, I don't know, that was really helpful to me because if you are walking in the spirit, walking in faith, then you will be self-controlled. So as Christians, if we are running around and running our mouths,
with no control, we are not adorning the gospel. Mm. We are not presenting ourselves like Christ. We are not looking like Christians. And that was pretty big to me.
Yeah.
It's like, this is how we should be living our lives, not only just for our families, but also for everyone else looking in.
That makes it more tangible, too, because you read that list of fruits of the Spirit.
And you're like,
and
what?
That is, it's nice to see a common thread through them that I'm like, okay, I can be more mindful of when I'm not being meek, I am not being self-controlled.
You're not controlling yourself.
Another thing with communication that I think is important is, one thing that I've gotten so confused being newly married is I think that if it hurt my feelings, or it might have been sin, quote-unquote, I need to address it to him. But the only things that need to be addressed are the things that are being addressed for his good and his soul and his sanctification. For example, if he said something that rubbed me the wrong way, if it wasn't sinful, I don't need to say, hey, why did you do that? That was not kind to me. That was not loving to, or does that make sense? Like, if I'm trying to push my own agenda, if that's my reason for communicating to him, I'm not being clear. Let me be clear. Let me try to be clear.
No, okay. I think I'm understanding what you're saying. It's just,
so if I come to him and I am saying, hey, you did this, this, and this, and it hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. Okay. Those three things weren't sin. They were preference.
Okay.
There's no fruit in communicating that to him. Does that make sense?
Whereas you need to just be self-controlled and be like, all right, this is not my preference.
Yes. But if he's sinning,
but you're submitting to
it's the, my job to say, hey, I love you. And because I love you, I'm seeing this and I want to come alongside of you and help you and help see you grow in this.
Yeah.
But if he does something that I just don't like over preference, then I don't need to communicate all of that. Does that make sense?
I guess it's more of a really,
is this for his good or for my good?
Right. You're checking. You have to check your heart before you just verbalize.
And I still get this so wrong. I think almost every day I probably do. Because I don't check it before. I see it after. And I'm like, oh, I've just told him to conform to my perfect version of him for my own good. Mm-hmm. That's not helpful for him.
Right. But also, something that that sparked is, I was talking about this with somebody, how when people get married, you still need to be growing and you can still be changing and your habits can be changing and your hobbies can be changing and your goals can change. So I guess what I'm saying with that is even with preferences, but you can still be changing. I'm basically coming at if your preference is for him not to leave his socks on the floor, your preference is for him to put his socks in the hamper. And you don't say that because you're like, oh, I'm not going to say that. But that is beneficial to him because that's a great way for him to steward your space. And how much harder is it to take your socks and put them in the hamper? But from you, it could be from sin saying, oh my word, why are you leaving your socks on the floor? You could come at it like that. Or you could... almost, I think what I'm getting at is you should be challenging each other, just like in my family, we challenge each other to be better, be better, grow in these ways. And maybe they are silly and they're not necessarily sin, blatant sin. Maybe there's a lack of courtesy that is a sin. But anyway, I don't know if that's making sense.
That does make sense.
And that's probably different situations.
No, I think the socks things is a great example. That's the one I hear the most with wives.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I'm just throwing that out there.
So two trains of thought there are, yes, communicate those things if it's a temptation for you to sin. If you're, well, no, that's not even true either. Scratch that. My thing is, I heard Elizabeth Elliot say, when you get married, so take this lightly because the world uses the word acceptance and it's not fruitful in that way, but accepting preferences, if that makes sense. So not accepting their sin, taking them for what they are as God has given them to you today. And I think one example that people use a lot is the beard hair on the counter.
Oh yeah,
like I just cleaned the bathroom and now it looks like fuzzy counters.
Yeah,
but saying to yourself as you're cleaning that up of, Lord, you've given me a husband, you've given me a bathroom to clean. You've given him the
taking the joy in those.
taking things. Joy in your husband.
And even though that's not your preference.
Right.
Okay,
I see. Because yeah. what you're going to do is you're going to keep burdening yourself of like, oh, there's one more way we can grow. Because every day we're going to find stuff. That's if right. he found stuff every day of, man, she leaves the Dutch oven. Oh, my word. I never clean it right. Like, I try, but it's so big and my sink is small. And so if he was like, oh, I think you could really do a good job at cleaning that Dutch oven, I'd be like, yeah, I think you're totally right. And then the next day, oh my word, okay, this spoon's got a lot. Babe, I think you could do a really good job. It'd be like every day you'd be burdening yourself to be burdening them. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's just not important.
Yeah.
I would rather him be feeling respected.
Focus on the heart problems instead of these little things.
Yes. And so if he is telling me, hey, babe, I think I struggle with being considerate, I could say, okay, here are some ways that I've seen tangibly that might be coming out. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather my husband be feeling respected than feeling like he's burdening me because it sucks. Because one thing I heard that has stuck with me even before I got married is this woman's, her husband died. And he always left his socks on the floor.
And that's the only
and
thing
she
wanted.
Wished
yeah.
she would run to those socks. And I think I remember telling somebody that, and they were like, you know, good luck, that's going to get
oh,
old.
That's another example of, like, the snoring thing. Yeah. Wives complaining of snoring, and then
that
someone
their husbands
said,
die.
Ask any widow, yeah. and their favorite sound is the sound yeah. of their husband snoring.
And that has stuck with me. And I think I worry about death. That is a big thing. That's a big sin thing. So yeah. it's probably a little mix in that. I don't really know. But one thing, that's what I told somebody before I got married. And they were like, that's not going to last very long. And by God's grace, every single day I see it. Because if he died, I would wish that I could pick up those socks one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd rather him be feeling respected and valued and honored in his home. And I want him to feel like comfortable there. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. if that means I shot a basket with
like
the socks.
Like a nagging wife.
Yeah. So
you don't
want
to be a nagging wife.
If it's sin, let's call it that. So mm-hmm. I can't determine if that sock thing. Is that a sin thing or is that just, I forgot again. And so if
it could be from a heart of lack of consideration. Mm-hmm. And that is where you would start. Not yeah. with the sock and the
yeah.
sink
yeah.
and the this and like
and pray
the
about
little
it first
things.
Before because there have yes. been I mean there have been many times already that I prayed about it before I talked to him about it. And if I would have talked to him about it, because my heart was so intertwined in it, I would have ruined it and I would have mm-hmm. sinned against him.
Mm-hmm.
But I prayed about it and the Lord helped him. And that yeah. was really sweet to see. Like, the Lord is dedicated to this marriage.
Yes.
And thank you, Lord,
that
for
is,
your
that
goodness
is such
in that.
A, such an encouraging thing mm. to think about.
Mm.
To encourage you to pray.
Yeah.
That's been so obvious to me this week.
Mm.
Is the necessity and just the weight of prayer
mm.
and the need of it. And the, I just said that, but I need to be better at it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a verbal processor, it's a great
mm.
person to process your thoughts to
yeah.
is
yeah.
the Lord. 'Cause he can bring so much clarity
mm-hmm.
To the situation, just like you're saying. That's
yeah.
a perfect situation of praying about what's really going on in your heart.
And it will help decipher what's sin and what's not. I know mm-hmm. when I'm praying to the Lord, I am more easily pricked as I'm talking. Because I'm like, oh my word, I'm talking to the God of the universe
mm-hmm.
about something that he's given me and I'm complaining about it, you know? Yeah. Instead of when I'm talking to a mere human, I mean, they're tempted to, they want to sympathize and they mm-hmm. want to understand. And so they're more likely to not be
they
holding you accountable.
They might even just get in there with you and be like, yeah.
I mean, I do that all the time. They're like, yeah, girl,
yeah.
that's the worst.
You like, oh, are suffering. You are right.
I mean, and that's not helpful. So
no.
That's encouraging to me as somebody who lives in the house of verbal, that's just who I am.
Yeah.
That's helpful of like, I'm tailor-made
mm-hmm.
to be talking to the Lord all the time.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, praise the Lord. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. And
mm-hmm.
how much would we rather just talk to somebody?
It's easier.
Talk to someone,
yeah.
talk someone's ear off
yeah.
about every little thing.
Yeah.
Instead of doing what we should be doing. So
mm-hmm.
prayer is so important. And Pastor Robert Wahop, I was listening to his sermon, and he's going to do a series on prayer. And
oh, I need to listen to that.
He encouraged and challenged us to pray 10 minutes a day.
Ooh.
For 10 minutes. Set a timer mm-hmm. on your phone. Pray for that 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Use some of the, like, acronyms that help with, like, you can use ACTS or you can use the word pray, and you can you could do that, or and set a timer and really focus on the fact that you're praying for and you and 10 minutes. 10 minutes. People do anything for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. You could do anything for 10 minutes.
I remember when I first started coming to Faith Bible, and I heard him say that. Like around the first time, and I was like, I don't know what this church is, but I am not cut out for this.
Oh my goodness.
And I think it was an hour in the day.
He was.
Throughout the day. Yeah. So I think it was like increments.
You do like 10 minutes every so often.
And I when I heard that, I was like, these people are crazy.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing that.
Yeah.
One thing that helps me, because I get this, I think everybody could probably say this, but I get so distracted.
Yep.
When I'm journaling.
So funny.
It's really helpful because I can swap back off from like, oh, this is what's happening. And then it turns into prayer as it I'm does. Writing.
Yeah.
And so I'm able to tangibly see that heart posture of, God, I need you mm-hmm. so much right now. And it's something I've been so encouraged going back and reading. I think I texted you one time, but I was reading a couple journal entries from 3 years ago.
Oh, yes.
And I was convicted by what I wrote down. And I was dating. I'd just gotten broken up with. I was switching jobs. I was just graduating high school. Everything was changing. Mm-hmm. And my posture before the Lord was so humble. Mm-hmm. And so to be in that scary spot and now being in, like, I love, like, I am where I wanted to be then. Mm-hmm. And it's reminding me, I need to be that humble servant again. Like, Lord, I have nothing to give you.
Yeah.
How can I serve you today, though?
Yeah.
And I really lost that in the season of high. And I want to... So I was just convicted by my own words. And so that was so neat. And it just encouraged me more. I need to be journaling these things. And it helps me pray and be focused more.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Something Robert was saying was that he... was just, he could be in the middle of a prayer and then realize, oh my goodness, I'm on autopilot. You know how sometimes you drive, you're driving somewhere and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm driving. And you remember, how have I even gotten here? I made it home, but I don't remember driving. He said that he gets tempted to do that in his prayers. And I was like, oh my goodness, how often am I tempted to do that and just rolling with saying spiritual things and saying things I know that are good, but my mind is not there and the reverence is not there. And he was like, stop right there and repent. Tell the Lord, please forgive me for I'm not even praying to you with my whole mind. And
doesn't that just break your heart?
It's incredible how weak we are.
He's so patient,
but God is so strong in our weakness.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's very humbling.
Yeah.
And we are such easily prideful creatures, always. And so it's a blessing when we have these moments of, oh, how ridiculous.
Huh.
Wow. I can't even focus for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I can't have a good, be in good, like, conscious while I'm praying to the God of the universe.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
There was also this thing from the Spiritual Disciplines book. Where I was talking about if you are wanting to be self-controlled, that is a fruit of the Spirit, which comes from being spiritually disciplined.
Mm.
And if you're spiritually disciplined, I loved this, that there is freedom. Actually, there is so much freedom from self-centeredness in the disciplines that we do to God, for God. Like worship and service and evangelism. And the freedom of godliness is the freedom to do what God calls us to do through Scripture. And we have the freedom to express the characters, the character qualities of Christ through our own personality. So when we are spiritually disciplined, we have freedom of expression. We're talking about not expressing yourself by the world standards, but by Christ standards. When we are spiritually disciplined, how much more can we speak of the great things of who he is?
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that is through devotion, through prayer, through each other. And the other thing is that this type of freedom to express who Christ is through our own personality
is a type of reward or result of the blessing of God upon our engagement in the spiritual disciplines. So God blesses when we choose his word over something else. Mm-hmm. He's blessing that with the freedom of
and isn't of that discipline. Sweet? Because I know I have to heavily rely on the Lord's help to read his word. Does that make sense? What he commands us to do, that any commandment has to be done through him, he then in turn gives us gifts. He
gives,
so he's like rewarding what he has helped us with.
He is, he's like a parent giving money to their child for the child to buy a gift for the parent.
Oh my word. But that is so, he's so patient with us. I'm like, be reminded of that right now through this conversation.
And how much more patient should we be with each other? If God can be so patient with how silly we are, what an example. We learn to be patient by imitating Christ. We learn self-controlness by imitating Christ. We learn to hold our tongues. Anyway, all of those things are image Christ and imitate Christ. And the only way you can imitate someone is by knowing what they did. So you have to be renewing your mind with the word. I feel like every time it's always going back to renewing your mind with the word and being washed from the day in the word. So
I heard Robert say, you're like a cup. And so whatever, when you get hit by something, if you're not filled with the word, what's going to spill out is your evilness, your wickedness.
Oh, yes. I listen to that. Yes.
So good. And so if I am filling that cup
something
with
will
God's word, when out. Something hits my cup, it spills out of compassion or patience. Or, and that was so tangible. I need those tangible examples in like the vessel. That was, I just remember that when you told me that. And now I'm like so challenged to like see my husband as a cup and be, oh my word, I can either fill him with blessings or fill him with wickedness and doing Satan's work for him. Oh my word, hold on, I've got a quote.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, men in passion are apt to slander and belittle their brethren and to do the devil's work for them.
Men in passion, so passion meaning like that a disturbance desire.
To defend yourself.
Or something.
That's the biggest way it comes out is when I needed to defend myself.
And passion is self-centered. Yeah, passion is from you. So it's your... you're elevating your wants and your desires, and that's what the result is.
And so when I'm apt to speak out of that, so if I would, when I feel the need to speak, if I would choose what I'm going to speak out of, am I going to speak out of passion? Am I going to speak out of, what is it, James 1, is it 12? Like speaking, being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I don't know what that is. James 1
it is.
But if I would choose to speak out of that pool instead of that one, and you know what? I bet I wouldn't even speak if I would choose that one. Just remember that.
Yep.
But, yeah, the Lord is very patient with us. Very, very patient with us. And we need to be, like you said, just filled with the word. And it's so much easier said than done. Yeah. And well, what it comes down to is my priorities in my day. It's the biggest thing I realized. A couple weeks ago, I saw my K group. I'm like, guys, I don't prioritize anything good. I prioritize what I, what's least, what's not hard. That's what I do in the day. Or what I enjoy doing. So to other people it might like, oh, that looks awful. But I'm just prioritizing what I like to do. And, but I know the more I read and study God's word, the more I want to. And so if I would see my need for it, cause it's also, it's, I'm not prioritizing it because I'm not seeing my need for it. And,
so we, that in that, we are needing to remember what we really are and that we hold nothing. Our cup is empty every day. Our cup is empty. And every time we don't choose a word, we are going into the negatives. Our our hole is getting, is the cup is deeper and deeper of emptiness. And, but something will fill it.
Well, yeah, we're going to fill it.
The world will fill it.
In our own wickedness.
Yeah. Yeah, our own selfish desires and our own, I mean, we're going to flee to something. And that is the joy, that's why we can have joy in trials, is because we get to flee to Christ. I mean, he is so sovereign over our lives and knows that we're struggling, knows we're going to struggle with self-control, knows we're going to struggle with selfishness, and yet he gives us the way of escape. Fleeing to his goodness and fleeing to his selflessness. And anyway, it's very encouraging to
that, I mean, that sermon was very encouraging.
Yeah.
But then also to remember it. And that was, that's something that's so different about taking the word seriously and taking sermons seriously, is like not just being the hearer of those things, mm-hmm. but being the doer and living them out in your practical yeah. daily lives yeah. and in practical ways.
It is sweet. God's word is so simple because mm-hmm. we're so simple and silly. And so yeah. it's so kind that he puts everything plainly for us so yes. that we can do that. It's just yeah. when we are choosing not to.
Yeah.
That's when it's not being treasured
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. We let it get lost in there. Okay. Well.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. What are we at?
41 minutes.
Oh my gosh. That's what we did every time. Perfect. Okay. Well.
How do we wrap it up? Did we do a good?
I think most of our conversation was more serious than our last one.
Yeah. Which probably was good.
Yeah.
It's probably good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm encouraged, but I want to go home and, like, read my Bible right now. And go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Perfect. Well.
Great. And we have an outro. We have an outro song, but we still need to be like, all right, we're wrapping that up.
All right, we're wrapped up. No.
We just had the most serious conversation. Okay,
we did.
How did we just end that so that it flows nicely when I cut it? Because that's the thing that I struggle with, is when I cut things and it doesn't make sense.
So, yeah, I'm just encouraged. I don't know.
Well, so we hope you guys are encouraged by that and can, I'm challenged to be praying more and being more, conscious of what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we hope that that's challenging and inspiring to you guys. We hope our words have been filled your cup with inspiration and blessing and not grief.
Yeah, and not grief.
And drudgery. Don't take drudgery in it.
No.
Don't take drudgery in it. That's a perfect.
Okay.
Adios, you guys.